As a parent, you undoubtedly recognize that the virtues and values being promoted in our culture are often at odds with the virtues and values being promoted in Scripture. As a mom raising sons, that's something Monica Swanson has been very cognizant of.
One of my key verses I always had on my mind is Ephesians 5:15, because really the theme is intentionality, being intentional about the things you're talking about. But it says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, because the days are evil. And I think the important thing there is to just realize that we are raising kids in an environment that is not for God. It is, whether they're in school or in sports, or in my case, down at the beach, there's not going to be a whole lot of people cheering them on in their faith. So we must be very careful in how we parent. And looking for those opportunities takes intentionality, and that's the only way we're going to do it.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. How can we train our sons not to love the world or the things in the world, as the Bible tells us? We'll talk more about that today with Monica Swanson. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, there's a lot of conversation in the culture today about what has been labeled toxic masculinity. Mm. And I think what's happened is a lot of people have assumed that toxic is the automatic modifier for the word masculinity. Mm. That if someone is masculine, then it must be toxic. And part of what we have to understand is that by God's design, masculinity is not inherently toxic. And as we raise our sons, we want to affirm the masculinity without affirming any of the toxic, sinful expressions of that masculinity.
I think Jesus' example of what a real man is pretty beautiful, because he was the ultimate servant leader.
Yes.
And when those two are combined, I don't know how people can call that toxic. Mm. If a man is loving and leading and serving the people that he's around and the people he loves.
And I think it's true for both men and women. When we're living out our God-given design as a man, and that doesn't mean overly aggressive. It does mean there's some aggression that's controlled in a beautiful, tempered way. Same for a woman. It's a beautiful thing. And I think people respond to a man being a man, a woman being a woman. And yet, as we talk about today, it has a lot to do with developing boys into men. How do you do that?
And as parents, we want to be careful that we're not imposing some kind of cultural gender bias with our kids. Mm-hmm. But we also want to acknowledge the reality of gender difference, and that boys are different than girls. And rather than to try to erase that difference, let's figure out how to embrace that difference and how to affirm it. We've got Monica Swanson joining us this week. She is the author of a book called Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You. Monica, welcome back.
Thank you.
Monica and her husband, Dr. Dave, live on the North Shore of Oahu and have lived there for the last 18 years. He's a hospitalist, right?
Yes.
And you've got four sons. The oldest is in college. Actually, you've got college. You just had a high school graduate, and then you got two more, including a 15-year-old surfer who's gone. Has he gone pro?
I don't think he would call himself pro, but he's got a contract with a surf brand.
That would be a pro.
That's what you call a pro. So you've been hard at work raising boys.
That's right. And
one of the areas, as we've talked about the challenges of a mom raising boys, one of the areas we haven't really spent a lot of time with is helping disciple boys and spiritual formation of boys. Did you find that there was challenge in this area as you were raising your boys, that there was resistance on their part to spiritual things and to reading the Bible and going to church and all of that?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that you mentioned my husband in the opening here, because really I do like to always give credit where credit is due. And my husband's been an amazing father and sets just a good and godly example to my boys. And so I write this book, Boy Mom, for moms out there. And I realize there's a lot of single moms and a lot of moms whose husbands maybe aren't doing their job so well in that area. But I like to just acknowledge that my husband's been an awesome father and really invest time into my son's spiritual life and all areas of their life. But I do think that a mom can do a lot, whether or not her husband's involved. I think a mom is such an important figure in shaping and forming her sons. So whether you've got a man by your side or not, I think you can do a lot. Mm. And finding good male role models is a big key. So if your husband's not involved or a father's not in the picture, I say get out there and find some men who are doing it well and try to get them involved wherever you can. But as for my boys, my husband and I just love the Lord and have been so blessed to walk with him many years. So when my boys were little, it was a very natural part of raising them is just teaching them from the time they were little, the most basic scriptures. You know, my husband teaching my sons John 3:16 in bed at night, having them repeat after him, "For God so loved the world." And some of their first memories were laying in bed with dad, reciting scripture verses before bed. But as they grew up, they had questions, certainly. They had questions, they'd have doubts, they'd have fears. They'd start to think about things like death and what does that look like and how do I know that I can trust the Bible is real? And when it comes to questions, the way we've handled it is, first of all, taking them to the Bible, reading them what God has to say about it. And then as they get older, my husband really believes in teaching them to search for themselves and kind of wrestle with some of those things, wrestle with their doubts. Because as he says, you know, if it's truth, it's going to stand every test. So ask some hard questions. And yes, ask mom and dad, but he's also started directing them to ask going to their youth leaders, people we trust outside of us, because I think kids need to know it's just not mom and dad.
Right.
And that they'd have some good role models in their life that they can turn to and meet with and dig into God's word and ask the hard questions.
I think modeling is probably the biggest thing we do as parents. If your choice is between teaching and modeling, don't teach and not model, because that just undermines everything you're teaching. That just says hypocrisy on display here. So if you could only do one, pick modeling. But the point is, you can do both. And I would say in our house, most of my spiritual training of our kids was more modeling than teaching. Mary Ann did more of the teaching of our kids spiritually, mm-hmm. development. Yes. She had more time. She was with them more than I was. This is something moms can do and can be intentional and purposeful. They just have to make it a priority.
That's right. Incorporating into our days wherever we can, not just church on Sundays, not just devotions for families that do that. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talk about it as you walk along the street, when you get up, when you lie down, just trying to look for ways to incorporate your faith into your whole day. And the best way to do that is to have the Lord on your mind all day long. And if you're getting up, reading your Bible, if you're spending time with the Lord, it's going to be a natural overflow into the things you're talking about. So I find just really practical ways to talk about what God's doing in my life and what I see around me and can just be a very natural part of the day.
I would add, you know, as I watched Anne and hearing you, Monica, talk about a mom's role in the spiritual development of your boys and daughters, but specifically boys, you know, I even preached on it, celebrating Anne at mealtime, at drive time, at bedtime, all these moments where I saw her seize moments to bring Jesus into the picture. But I also want to say to the men listening, don't advocate that to your wife.
That's right.
I mean, it's real easy as a husband and a dad to watch a woman, sometimes better than us, teaching our kids and just become a bystander,
right.
Become passive. It's like, no, we got to step in there and be a partner. And it is the modeling. They're going to look at dad, especially young boys, to say, okay, mom, tell me all my stuff. Is it real? Is dad living this? Does dad believe this? They need to hear that from us as well.
We need
to be active, teaching and living this out beside mom.
This really doesn't happen unless we're saturated with Jesus ourselves and it begins to pour out. And it can be the driest time for moms and dads because you're so busy with raising your kids. It's hard to get time in. It's not like you've got an hour just to relax and spend in God's word today. But that is when Deuteronomy 6 comes into play, that we talk about him when we walk along the way, when we're having breakfast, when we're having dinner, when we're going to bed. And that became a theme for us. But it didn't happen unless it was first in me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so I think that's key for moms to figure out how you can do that. I used to have my Bible in the car and at the table so that I was telling stories even to our boys about, I talked to this woman about Jesus today.
Yes.
So they'd see me doing it like, oh, so this is for real.
I totally agree. One of my key verses I always had on my mind in writing the book and in all things parenting is Ephesians 5:15, because really the theme is intentionality, being intentional about the things you're talking about. But it says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, because the days are evil. And I think the important thing there is to just realize that we are raising kids in an environment that is not for God. It is going to everything, whether they're in school or in sports or in my case down at the beach, there's not going to be a whole lot of people cheering them on in their faith. So we must be very careful in how we parent. And looking for those opportunities takes intentionality, and that's the only way we're going to do it.
I clearly think Deuteronomy 6 gives us the paradigm for how we're to do this as parents. But I'm a little concerned that parents will read this and go, okay, so I just do this kind of on the fly, when the Spirit moves me. I don't have to be purposeful and intentional. I just look for opportunities. I'm concerned that we've got kids growing up who can't recite the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing magical about the Lord's Prayer, but when I was growing up, I memorized the Lord's Prayer.
That's right.
And I memorized some scripture. And in fact, with our kids, I decided when they were little that they needed to know the Apostles' Creed. Now, the Apostles' Creed's not scripture.
Wow, you're going deep.
In our church, see, we don't recite the Apostles' Creed in our church, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, but my kids need to know the Apostles' Creed.
It's full of truth.
It is full doctrine, of truth, and it'll serve them for a long time. Mm-hmm. So when my son James was, I forget how old he was at this point, he was maybe 6 years old, I said, I'll pay you $5 if you memorize the Apostles' Creed.
Perfect.
Bribing is always good when it comes to spiritual.
And I want to show you, I wish I could show you the video, but I'll play for you the audio of when he earned his
$5. I can't wait.
You ready for this? Here we go.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Here it is.
Here on May 11th, 1995, to say the Apostles' Creed.
Is this recording?
Yes.
I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, served under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
Don't be silly.
Ascended into hell.
Descended
into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic, the Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
All right.
How old was he, Bob?
That was May of 95. He was born in June of 88. So he was almost 7 years old when he did that. And he doesn't know what half of those words mean, right?
Right. Sitteth. That's good.
Yeah, that's right. We use the old original.
Love it.
But you know what? That foundation in him, that intentionality, those little assignments along the way that we do as parents in the spiritual development and formation of our kids, he can still do the Apostles' Creed today, even though he probably hasn't said it, you know, he doesn't say it regularly, but it's buried in there. Such a fertile field in the lives of young children that we can be building spiritual truth in.
We don't set the bar high enough.
Yeah.
And our kids are capable of memorizing every song or video game, what to do in the next step. But why wouldn't we take our time and be intentional about pouring in some real truth?
You know, it's funny. I get to watch it, and he's moving around like a little.
Oh, he's acting it out.
Yeah.
And he's being a little comic, a little cut up. And at one point, I'm going, don't be silly with he was crucified, dead, and buried.
Yeah. He went down to the floor, you know, dead and buried. But I have thought this. There were times when we were trying to teach our little boys spiritual truths in the family room, and they'd be up running
right.
and crawling. And sometimes as a parent, you give up.
Yes.
You're like, oh, they're not listening. It's like, no, don't give up. Keep going. They're boys. They're going to move around. They need to be, moving. And Yes. You can still teach. Maybe use the movement as a way to teach. But I'm guessing you did that and
For
are
sure.
still doing that.
We sure do. And we sure have. And there's times that, we have to basically strap down our youngest because everyone else is into a good discussion. And the youngest is set on being a comedian. So he'll stand up in the middle of it. But they're getting something out of it. As maybe small, but they're getting something.
And at the same time, I do remember, Bob, you're talking about Deuteronomy 6. There's that intentionality that can be lost because you think, oh, I'm just going to wing it. And yet if you look at Deuteronomy 6 as this moment in Israel's history, the Shema, they memorized this. This was very visceral to them.
They said it daily.
Daily, yes. Several times a day.
Yes.
And it meant something. The Lord is our one God, not polygod, one God. And then impress this on your children. And I can remember as a dad of young boys thinking, every day there's a moment. There's times we've decided we're going to sit down, but there's other times I want to be looking for that while we're sitting, while we're at the dinner table. And I remember one time with my youngest Cody, who's now a co-pastor with me, sitting watching TV. I don't remember what show it was. He's 16, I think, maybe 15. Mom's not there. On the show, there was something about this couple living together. I hit pause. I go, hey, Cody, what do you think God thinks about couples having sex before marriage? I'll never forget. He goes, he thinks it's wrong. like the rote answer.
Yeah.
I'm a pastor's kid. I better say he thinks it's wrong.
Right.
And I go, yeah, you're right. Why does he think it's wrong? Because it's bad. And I go, yeah, but why would he think it's in the Bible somewhere? I go, you know where? He goes, no. I go, go get your Bible. I'll never forget this.
Yep.
And again, it might be more strong in my memory than his, but he went to get the Bible. We plopped it on the coffee table and said, let's look.
Right.
Let's see what the Word of God says about this. And we sort of learned together. And probably was a moment I hope he remembers.
Here's the thing about moments like that, about the intentional moments, about the spontaneous moments. We look at it and think, did what I want to accomplish in that moment, was it successful? Mm. I think what we lose sight of is the message we've just sent. Thinking about God is important. Looking to the Bible for answers is important. Spending time with God is important. Whatever else got missed in the specifics of that, the discipline of that sends the bigger message to our children. Oh, mom and dad think this is really important. This is not just something that we show up on Sunday and then we forget about it the rest of the week. Even if you look at that family devotion you tried to do and nobody was paying attention and you go, well, that was worthless. Here's the message they got. Mom and dad thought family devotions was important and that was stupid, but
it's important to them, so it must matter.
Yeah, that's the point.
And the sub point being made is there's a source of truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That they go to. It isn't the culture. It isn't the latest. There is a book.
Yeah,
that
so
it is the foundation.
We're modeling for them what's important to us. And again, even if the specifics don't come across, the general principle, God and His Word are driving the agenda for our day. That's what's important.
Just recently, I heard somebody ask my son, my oldest son, about his spiritual formation. And of course, I was thrilled to hear when he said, more than anything else, it was seeing what my parents did and seeing where they found truth. When they had a question, they opened their Bible. They didn't look to culture. They went straight to the Word of God. And you do wonder when you're in the middle of it what they're picking up. And when you can hear them say, that's what they picked up more than anything else, and something good is happening. One thing I talk a lot about with friends all the time is just the book of Proverbs and how that's been so helpful in raising boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom. But in a boy's life, I think the book of Proverbs in the Bible is just so full of truths that are so practical and so applicable to everything going on today. And so it's just a handy book to turn to every day of the month, since there's 31 chapters. It's something we ask our boys to do as part of their devotions. Do whatever you want. Read whatever you want. Some of them are going through studies with their youth group. But I say just read a chapter of Proverbs. And then my husband and I try to keep up on it as well. So around the dinner table or when things come up, we can say, oh, did you notice how the Proverbs we read today, kind of keeps them accountable. And there's just so many simple, profound truths in Proverbs mm-hmm. that I think it's one of the best books for shaping a boy's heart.
And with the Proverbs assignment that a lot of families will do, here's what frustrated me. It jumps, Proverbs jumps from subject to subject to subject,
yeah.
verse. It's kind of like, what's the big idea?
Right.
So say to the kids, read the chapter and look for the one.
One.
What's the one verse for you today that you want to highlight or that you want to think about, that you want to meditate on today? And at dinner tonight, we'll each come up with what was our proverb of the day. And maybe you don't do that every night. Again, kids would kind of get, I'm bored with this assignment. But you can throw that thing out and just make it a part of the warp and woof of your life.
Yeah. That's what I was going to mention. How do you get kids to do that if they don't want to? Like, this is dumb. I don't want to do this. How have you motivated your kids to read Proverbs or to be in the Word?
Interestingly, somehow without being too hard and fast with rules, we've just kind of made it what you do.
It's a rhythm of your life.
It's a rhythm of our life, and I don't know if we got real lucky, but we haven't had anybody protest it. I think my youngest right now is the one I still have to do devotions with. If he's going to do it, it's going to require me pulling him into my lap and saying, let's read your devotional. But we just say that's what you do. It's just part of what we do as a family. We all, my husband and I, we get up, we read our Bible. It's just what you do. So I think it helps to start young. But if you don't, then you can still set that as a part of their day and just make it a simple requirement and not asking you to spend an hour and a half. We're just saying, find a chapter of the Bible and read it.
Let me ask you if you've had a dinner conversation about this proverb. This gets us into another area. And you mentioned this is one of the 12 areas to talk about with your son. Tell me if you know where this comes from. Proverbs. I won't even tell you where, but it says, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down the path, her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. But it does bring into the whole area for a young man and all men of sexual temptation.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I had a single mom. So I had no dad there to talk to me about that. I actually could watch his model, and it wasn't a good one with women. But
sure.
So I have a single mom trying as I'm 13, 14, 16, 18, talking to me. Talk about that as a mom, stepping into those areas with a young son.
Not only is my husband a great man, he's also a medical doctor, but I will say I'm the one who has most of the talks with my sons about those things. And I encourage moms, it doesn't have to be the father. There's no right way to do it. Whoever's most comfortable talking about this stuff, talk about it. So my husband does get involved in the conversation, but I am usually the one to bring it up. And we do talk about that from the time that, you know, they can understand things. We talk about purity. Proverbs is a great, great place to start. A couple of the verses I have my boys memorize come from Psalms 119. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And those to me have been just two verses that from a very young age I said, you need to know these because there's only one way to stay pure, and that's by having God's word hidden in your heart. And that's why we go over these. There's a reason behind what we do. You have to know the word of God or else you're going to be double challenged.
The point here is the spiritual formation of our children is significant. And for boys in particular, for them to grow up to be godly men, they need a foundation. You started from the beginning with your boys. You started early. Not everybody does. Some people come to faith later in life. And it's not like it's a lost cause if you don't start early. But I'll tell you what, if you can start early, you start when they're, before they understand what you're saying, if they see mom and dad praying together, they're getting a message sent to them, and that's imprinting on their heart and on their brain.
I remember talking to one of our sons as he's gotten older, and I said, do you remember all the teaching and the devotions that we did? Do you remember these conversations? And he said, no. I don't remember anything, which was so disappointing because I've put so much time and effort. He said, but I do remember watching you and Dad.
Yeah.
And that made a huge impact on me.
Sure.
And I think our kids are living in a culture that is so contrary to maybe what we're growing up with. And if your faith is new and this is a time where you're thinking, I want this and I haven't given it to my kids, it's never too late.
No.
I think kids really honor our transparency.
Yes.
And so if we can go to them and say, hey, Jesus is doing something in my life and he's transforming me. And I would love to see what our house could look like as we follow Jesus. And so you're not necessarily, if they're older, you're not pushing it down their throat, but you're saying God's transforming me and I'd love for this to be a permanent place in our home.
Here's how this gets expressed in the Boy Mom Manifesto, which is at the back of your book, Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most from You. You say, as a boy mom, I'm committed to investing in my son daily. I will lead my son into relationship with God through guidance and personal example. I'll pray for my son daily, and I'll do whatever I can to help him mature a vibrant spiritual life. If you fail at a lot and you succeed at that, that covers a multitude of other issues in your son's life because it brings him back to what is the source, what is the anchor, and what's going to really matter. I think your book, your blog, and this conversation that we've been having this week for boy moms is really significant. I think this is going to help a lot of moms who are raising boys. And Monica, we're grateful for you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here and for talking about this. And thanks for writing the book. We've got copies of Monica's book, Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You, in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. The number to call is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, thinking about what Monica shared with us today, I'm just aware again of how important it is for us as parents to be intentional, to be purposeful, to get out of the day-to-day mindset and think big picture, think long term. David Robbins, who's the president of Family Life, is here with us today. And David, we're doing all we know how to do to try to help moms and dads all around the world adapt an intentionality mindset with their parenting. The Art of Parenting video series that came out last year is now starting to expand in Central America, Latin America. We're hoping to take it into East Asia and into Arabic-speaking countries, but we're working on raising the money for translations. This is something we think can be revolutionary for families and for cultures.
Parenting is such a universal language, and we're sitting on this resource that we knew God was making something special as we created it, but we are seeing it truly reach hundreds of thousands of people. And I know personally for me, living in a secular place like New York before I came to Family Life, not everyone would come to church with us.
Right.
But they would sit around our kitchen tables or in our living rooms, and they would talk about the challenges of parenting, and there was something sacred with it, and there's something around legacy, and there's something in this want to of, I need help. And we are helping people radically reorient their lives around a gospel-driven, biblical viewpoint on what parenting is and how the role of a mom and a dad in their kids' lives and how they shape them. And, you know, in Latin America, one of the things that has been so encouraging for me is watching Family Life staff and volunteers train pastors and lay leaders in churches all over Latin America, where the Like Arrows movie is shown to full audiences. And at the end of it, there's a team of people going, we are starting these Art of Parenting groups. And so you really do see the power of a mobilized force of people, lay people, pastors, connecting with this resource and it going and reaching areas and countries and streets and neighborhoods. It really is awe-inspiring to see all God is doing and how He is using this resource. And that's why we want to invest more into it.
Well, and this month is a significant month because we've had some friends of the ministry who have come and said, we want to help you guys expand. We want to see this happen on a broader scale. They have agreed during the month of August to match every donation we receive, dollar for dollar, up to a total of $500,000. We've been hearing from listeners. Thank you to those of you who have gotten in touch with us. We still have a ways to go if we're going to take full advantage of the matching gift. So would you consider making a donation today? Go to familylifetoday.com. Donate online or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. When you do, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of Dennis and Barbara Rainey's book, The Art of Parenting, which is a great book for you if you're in the middle of raising your own kids, or if that season has passed, get a copy of the book and share it with somebody at church or maybe with one of your own kids so that they can benefit from the book. Again, donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And help us take advantage of this unique matching gift opportunity. We appreciate you. And we hope you can join us back tomorrow when we want to talk about the challenges that seem to be almost daily for a mom who is a stepmom. Ron Deal is going to talk with Melanie Anthony tomorrow about where a stepmom finds her strength. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.